Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, from whenever and wherever you're listening. Welcome to another episode of Afropolitan Podcast with your girl, Omalayo, and your favorite co-host, Nana.
Hey, hey, hey. We're here. Another episode of Afropolitan Essential. Super excited to come chit-chat. We're so, so sorry that last week we didn't have an episode go up as per schedule. Life happened. I was exhausted. And just couldn't get it together. And thankfully, Omalayo is quite understanding. And so
I was also exhausted too, though. So I really understood.
There we go. So I think we just recorded
four papers this past month. It was wild.
Oh my gosh! Like it's interesting because in recent weeks I've just had conversations with people, and I'm like, you know what? You know, come on, I'm kind of done with this 9-to-5 life. You know, I wouldn't mind going back to school. And then I have conversations with Omalayo and her papers that are due, and I'm just like, I can stick it out longer. It's fine.
So funny. And I feel like this month, because I took a social media break this month as well, and I noticed that when I came back, because it was so funny, because I remember Chinime would be like, oh, don't worry, like, Instagram will be there when you come back. And Literally, it really was, because every other post I saw would be like, oh, I took an Instagram break. Oh, I'm back from my Instagram break. So I was like, oh, okay, so it's not just me.
It's not just you.
So that was really interesting to see how many people this month, like, just needed to step back and, like, recuperate.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, the new year, you know, comes on and there's loads of excitement around us, like trying to build new character, trying to build new habits, just trying to, you know, get it. But I think in the midst of that, it's also really important to be able to take a step back when needed to say, you know what, actually, I may need to just recuperate a bit. Or, me achieving those goals sometimes means just stepping off of social media for a bit and being able to concentrate. Like, for instance, on our Instagram Explore page, I randomly found this producer called Sarz, S-A-R-Z. I'm sure loads of people know him. I just was not familiar with him. And so he put out a project. It's kind of like an instrumentals only kind of project. So no singing, but it's really, really good. What's it called? Something Rhythms. I'll put it in the show notes if needed. But he essentially was saying that he just wanted to work on that, and to work on that, he had to just go off social media, and he did it for 2 weeks, and he was able to, within 2 weeks, do this whole project. And it probably would not have been the case if he had been on social media. So
I really get that, because I definitely would not have finished my essays if I was still on social media, because I'm like, Nana, like I was telling you, like, I do this thing when I want to distract myself, I just like scroll endlessly.
Oh my gosh.
So like without Instagram, I could, or Twitter or anything like that, I couldn't scroll endlessly. So as soon as I was finished watching WhatsApp statuses, I was like, well, I guess it's back to my writing.
And you know, WhatsApp statuses are scarce, because I don't know how many people use that.
Barely any. it's crazy.
Oh gosh,
For me, I took the social media break because I also wanted to like plan out my 2019 without the distraction and the comparison game. So I took a lot of time to just like do a lot of reflection and like think about. So I actually did like a 6-year retrospective.
Yeah, I remember about, you like, were telling
past us. Couple years, and then thinking about what I want for the future. But I wanted to do it without the pressure of like having to like package it for Instagram. Because I think like when you're still on Instagram, you want to be like, oh, like these are my goals and these are my that. And like check out what other people are doing. So I wanted to like really reflect and plan without the comparison angle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I think that's one thing that, you know, Instagram is it's very interesting about Instagram, because on the one hand, it's good when you see other people just as excited and just as revved up to, you know, go get it, etc. But on the other hand, it can be like, am I dreaming big enough? Is this big enough? Like, am I like, am I not being ambitious enough or whatever? So, you know thyself and do what's best for thyself.
Exactly. But, and another thing I learned from my Instagram break, which is super related to our topic today, was that the friends who are there, like, you're still going to be able to keep in touch with them regardless of social media. Because I think a lot of us like stick to social media because, I want to keep in touch with my friends, blah, blah, blah. And so today we're talking about friendships and staying in touch with friends and everything like that. But from what I learned via my social media break and everything is that those friends that are closest to you or that like need to get in touch with you or that, you know, mean the most in your life, like you're gonna keep talking to them, they're gonna find other ways to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Social media
regardless. Yeah, absolutely. And if your friends won't talk to you because you're off social media, I think you know what that means.
And it was actually interesting too to see some of the like Instagram quote unquote friends that I've made, and then those friends became more like DL, whose podcast I was featured on a few months ago. Okay. We had exchanged WhatsApp numbers, and then she, like a couple weeks ago, she texted me and was like, "Hey girl, like I haven't seen you on Instagram. Hope you're doing good." So like, it's also interesting to see those people who you wouldn't necessarily be like, "Oh, like that's a really good friend or whatever," but yeah, like someone you met up via Instagram, yeah, but you're still able to keep in touch with them outside of social media. So that was a cool experience.
That's pretty cool. Okay. So as Amalia mentioned, today's episode, we're going to be talking about friends. And it's so funny, whenever I think about this, I don't know how many of you saw that kind of Friends spoof or remake that was done for Jay-Z's Moonlight video. I think it was like 2 years ago or 3 years ago with Issa Rae and Tiffany Haddish and all of them. But then the song was Friends. How many of us got them? Let the dun, 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 dun. So that's what's going through my mind.
That's so funny. I haven't seen that at all.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'll show it to you afterwards. And you guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google Moonlight Jay-Z. It was actually a really good one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yep, moving on to the topic at hand. So we've kind of introduced it a bit. I think it's a natural segue to want to talk about the topic of friendships or friends, particularly in the new year, because people are like, new year, new me, you know, either, you know, redefining priorities and existing friendships or reassessing current ones and figuring out if they align with, you know, the people that, you know, we're evolving to become and whatnot. So on today's episode, there's going to be a pretty laid back conversation, just, you know, dissecting the topic of friends. So, you know, starting from the Afropolitan experience to the struggles of making friends in new cities to some lessons learned, etc. So without much further ado, we're just gonna get into it. So Amalia, should we start with you? Well, I guess I can start. Last weekend, you know, I was washing my hair, I was doing something random, and then my aunt called me, and she's like, "Hey, how are you, blah, blah, blah," and she's like, "Oh my goodness, guess what, Akuma is married." And for context, Akuma, she's my oldest friend, so I met her on the first day of third grade in our school, which was called Shooting Stars. And she was feisty. I remember within like a couple of days or so after knowing her, she was talking to me so much that we got into trouble. And I was thinking, who is this girl? Lordy, what is this?
Catching me in trouble.
Yeah, got me in trouble. Because you know how it is back home. Like, we had to kneel down and stuff. And I was just like, oh, this girl, keep her away from me. She talks too much. But, you know, she became like one of my closest friends. And she was, you know, she was that girl that the guys couldn't mess with because she would beat you up. And, you know, always top of the class. So I couldn't come first because Akuma was hogging the spot.
Does she have two heads, Nana? Does she have two heads?
I know. How could I be slacking like this? Get letting this girl come first all the time. But she does have a big head, though, so maybe.
No, but she sounds also just really incredible. And
she's absolutely amazing. She's gone on to become a doctor. And she just got married this past weekend. And yeah, it was so crazy. And it still is so crazy to me that like she's gotten married. And I think, you know, one thing I bring up this story because like I think one thing I've realized about myself is that I'm not always the best at keeping in touch as is needed. I think it's very easy for me to get consumed with the day in, day outs and kind of forget about the people that aren't in that day in, day out with me. Because I know there was a point in time when she texted me, she was like, "Oh my gosh, like it's been so long since I heard from you." Like, we have this phrase in Tree called Onshoshemit, which means you don't look for me. And I was like, "Oh no, girl." Yeah, I was like, "No, that's not how it is." But, you know, even with that having come from her, like I didn't, I think that should have been my thing to say, okay, I need to put like, you know, I need to prioritize this a bit more, if even every month, even to have a call with her. So suffice to say that I haven't kept in touch as I should, although I did see her when I was last in Ghana. So then hearing the news about her wedding, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so crazy that homegirl is getting married. But then selfishly, a part of me was also sad because I was like, oh my gosh, she didn't tell me that she was getting married.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I can't really blame anybody than myself, because I haven't also kept in touch as is needed. And I don't know, I think that that's, you know, these long distance friendships, I think it's one thing that really characterizes the Afropolitan experience.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I have friends from back home that I went to primary school or JSS or SSS with, you know, now friends from America, you know, people here now, right. And so trying to navigate all of that, I think it's always really interesting, because you have these great friends, but they're not always in the physical. In the same place with you. So sometimes if you don't put in enough effort, you lose some of them a bit.
Oh, you can always rekindle them.
I know. Interesting
that a marriage made you realize that, because I feel like I have a super similar experience. So ooh. I'm getting married.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if you were ready to announce it to our audience or not. But yeah, homegirls get married, y'all.
Hey. Yes, your girl's walking down that aisle.
Ooh.
But yeah, no, it's just interesting because now that I am engaged and I'm trying to think about like who's going to be in my bridal party and everything like that. Or it's just making me realize how all my friends are in such different places.
Yeah.
And the other week we had this exercise that I'll talk about more in one of my classes. And it made me realize that none of my friends, none of my close friends that I'm trying to have in my bridal party have met Gerald. Chinaman met him one time, but everybody else, none of them have met Gerald. And I was just like, dang, you know what I mean? And so that's even a lot of them aren't friends with each other. So it's just one friend that I met here in Maryland, one friend that I met here in Senegal, one friend that I have here in Nigeria, you know, Nana, another friend in California. I haven't been to California. She just moved out there.
But who's we grew up together in Maryland. Who's in California? Yeah,
what?
Who's in California?
Monica. So she went to school out there.
Oh.
Yeah, but she and I went to high school together and we're really tight then. So we've just stayed in touch and everything. It just made me realize that I have all these long distance friendships and none of them know my significant other that I'm trying to spend the rest of my life with. And that's wild.
Does that make you feel any type of way or?
Yeah, it kind of makes me sad. Yeah, so in this class exercise that we had the other week, we had to all go around and talk about what home meant to us, if we'd have toxic homes, things like that. These different questions. It was just weird exercise. So one of the questions was just what was home to us and things like that. And there were other people around the circle who had said that home is this specific community, this specific group of people, this specific and usually this specific location. And then for me, I realized that I never really had that. And then now we've talked about this before where I don't really seem to befriend whole groups, one person here, one person there. So even within Elon University, I had you, and then I had a few groups here and there, but even with the groups, there would be one specific person or two that I would be really, really close with. And so that's kind of how I feel now as I'm trying to plan my wedding. So a lot of my friends, not only do they not know Gerald, but they also don't know each other or weren't close to each other when I was close to them.
Yeah.
And it kind of bums me out because especially on the wedding side, because when you're starting to get serious with somebody, you want to introduce him to your friends and
get their thoughts. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I never really got to do that. And so now that, I'm trying to plan a wedding and everything, I don't know, I know everyone's super happy for me and everything, but for some reason, deep down, I feel like they'd be even happier for me, if they knew him and stuff like that. So just, all these things that come up as, we were saying, all these, things like weddings make all these things come up and make you really realize, who have you been keeping close?
Yeah.
And kind of, drifted away from.
I think that makes sense, because it's a bit of a, I won't say like a rite of passage or anything, because I mean it can go sideways, right, where it's like you found a great guy and some friends are trying to be interesting. But I think on the more positive side, it normally, you know, like you're saying, is a thing where it's like, oh, this is this person, and other people are able to, you know, other people that you, of course, you trust and you value their opinion and their blah blah blah, are able to also weigh in and say, yeah, oh my gosh, like absolutely, he's such a great guy. But I think the funny thing is that for me, even though like I haven't met him before, and I've only like, I only know about him through you, I think I've never been in doubt or anything, I guess, just from like, I don't know, just from what you've told me and from what I know. So he better be all that in a bag of chips, or if not.
Oh yeah, exactly. Especially because I think like whenever I'm telling you about him, I'm like grinning from ear to ear, and you're like shaking your head like this girl.
Yeah, y'all. Yeah, she's always so lovey-dovey, like, and I'm always trying so hard to like, and it's not, I'm not even intentionally trying to be like, oh my gosh, this girl.
Yeah,
but...
no, I know, it's all love and
So
it's just like made me realize like how spread out all my friendships were, because you know, like, especially because Gerald and I have been long distance for a while, and so we always talk about long distance relationships in terms of love. But I've also realized that I've also maintained a lot of long distance friendships as well, so that's been really interesting to see, like growing up, like post undergrad, I guess, what types of efforts go into maintaining friendships across time and space, but also maintaining like a romantic relationship across time and space. And it's a lot of the same skills, just like checking in on someone regularly, like updating them about what's going on day to day, like making the time to like chat, and just all the things that you expect from like long distance relationships, you know. Yeah. You have to put them into long distance friendships as well if you're serious about keeping that person in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think kind of comes back to my point where, in hindsight, I'm able to see, you know, why some of the friendships, you know, haven't, you know, they're still there, obviously, but not the same, not to the same depth or whatever. But I think also another thing that's also really interesting is, you know, the whole concept of just growing apart from people. Because I think, in as much as like you can, and obviously this is, I think, you know, this is a bit different for relationships, like romantic relationships, but maybe even it still applies. But I think, you know, so much happens in the here and now that I think sometimes if somebody isn't there to experience it with you, like you end up, I guess, becoming a certain person, or, you know, evolving into somebody else where, you know, the other person on the other end of the line who hasn't experienced those things, it becomes like hard for them to relate, or hard for you both to relate, because you're both going through such different things. And I think that realistically, that's what's probably happened with a lot of my friendships back home, just because like, in going through Elon and discovering all kinds of, you know, different things, you know, from race relations to just, you know, relationships, maturity, because, you know, my friends back home too also have so many cool things that happened in their uni days, which I also had no context like to even try to digest about. So I think it becomes a situation where it's kind of like at the core, we probably have, you know, we're so different, or we've just had so many different experiences, but, you know, on a surface level still, like we can maintain some sort of friendship. And I think that that's also what I've been trying to, maybe not trying to, already made myself okay with, that, you know what, you know, you won't be able to probably maintain that level of depth with everyone. But as long as, you know, the general kind of friendship and intimacy to the level that it can be sustained is still there, then you know, that's just a compromise that has to be reached sometimes.
I think of like some friends that I have where like I would still consider them a good friend, but yeah. they might not be one of those friends that, like, I keep up with on a daily basis, like you and Chinema and things like that. Mm. And but they are friends that, like, if and when I do see them, like,
yeah,
just like everything is rekindled, and feels like you picked up, like, right where you left off, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I feel like that's how it is, like, with Kube and Ojua, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Because I probably talk to them, like, once every month or 6 weeks, sometimes even 2 months. But, mm-hmm. you know, in that hour, 2 hour phone call, it's like, let's smush everything.
Exactly, exactly. That's what happens with, like, Lei and Monica. So two friends from, like, clearly different sides of my life. So, like, Monica from high school, and then Lei, like, you knew her from uni as well. And so even though, like, I don't talk to her, like, every single day, when we do talk, it'll be like a 3 hour conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're trying to make up for lost time. And I think that that's something that I think I've come to appreciate more and more. You know, those friendships that you can, pick up. And I guess, I don't know how it is with you, like, with you and Lei, for instance, and with Monica, do you guys, like, communicate every now and then, or is it just radio silence, then a phone call, then radio silence, then a phone call?
It depends. Like, sometimes, like, it'll ebb and flow. Like, whenever we do have one of our three hour conversations, we'd be like, oh my gosh, like, why don't we talk more often? And then, like, a few weeks, we will, like, talk a little bit more often, and then, like, it'll just kind of, like, radio silence for a bit, and then, like, pick back up. So it has, like, ebbs and flows, and it's similar. Whereas there's, like, other friends from, like, elementary school. So I actually did, like, grow up in, like, one specific location. Whereas, like, there's other friends from, like, elementary school where, like, it won't be until, like, we're all, like, in town again that I'll see them. Mm. And so then those are the friendships that are, like, not quite as close, but, like, just radio silence, maybe for, like, even, like, a year or two.
Yeah. I think
you still pick up, and, you know, there's amicable. But I think the thing about what you were saying with how you're friends and there's different contexts now is that I realize sometimes with those friendships, like, you'll have, like, less and less to talk about, right?
Yes, that's the thing.
Because, like, you guys don't have as many touch points to relate on.
Yeah.
So I know for those friendships where, like, oh, it'll be, like, a year or two between, like, catching up and everything, like, we'll catch up from, like, so many things, and then be asking our questions from, like, way back when, like, oh, you know how this person is doing, and you know how that person is doing, or whatever. But then it's also people that I've also lost touch with, so it's like, okay. So it's not that you don't care about the person, or you're not as close to the person, or whatever. It's just that you guys' lives have gone such different paths that it's hard to, like, absolutely. Have as many common touch points.
Yeah absolutely. Because I remember when I first, like, moved to the US, my cousin, I just realized, I was like, this girl, does she even listen to this podcast? I need to harass her to listen.
You're good about that. I think I'm better about harassing people. I need to get better about harassing.
Oh, girl, tell me about it. I suck, but
thank anyway. You to all who are listening, though.
Yeah, who listen without having to be harassed. Exactly. Thank you so much. But yeah, I remember her bringing up that point about, you know, you need to realize that your friends back home, it isn't going to be the same. Like, it's because she moved there. I think shortly after college, and then she was there for, like, maybe 10 years, 11 years. She's since moved back to Ghana, but she was saying that, you know, I will see in time that those friendships, because we're just going through just very different things, it's just not going to be able to kind of move forward at the same kind of, like, depth, etc. And that is what has happened. Although I think also another point of, you know, being an adult and having friends is also being able to realize some of my shortcomings, or being able to realize, like, times where I just have not been a good friend. Because I think, sorry, I just did, like, such a quick switcheroo there. But I think, like, for me, sometimes how do I say this? So I think it's very easy to be in a position where, like, you've always been a good friend, and so the idea of you actually having shortcomings, or maybe not being there for somebody, or dropping the ball on somebody, like, it's just like, oh my gosh, what? I don't see myself as this person. I would never. But it's like, yeah, girl, yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. So that's also been another thing that I've been trying to be more conscious of, is, you know, figuring out how I can be there for my friends more. Because I think there are certain things, like with me, where I'm like, I don't see the big deal about this. Like the fact that we haven't been able to talk, you know, girl, I still think about you or whatever. But it's like, I also need to understand, for instance, what's important to my friend. Because one of my friends, Karen, hey girl, she probably doesn't listen. she every now and then will like do a random WhatsApp call. And I'm always like, Karen, what is it with you and these super random calls? And a lot of times it's like times I'm at work or whatever, so I'm just like, oh Karen, what are these hours that you're calling me? But you know, I've had to sit down and think and realize, you know, that's her way of trying to connect with me, because I mean, I'm sure she has things to do too before. And actually one time she told me when I went back to Ghana, I was just like, you think you're the only one who's busy, yeah? I was like, that's true.
Calling you out.
Calling me out. I was like, yeah, girl, I need to do better. I need to do better. So that's also another thing. Just trying to be a better friend.
Exactly. Friend. But I think, I mean, part of that too is just like knowing like which friendships have run their course. Yeah. And I feel like I've had a really hard time like with that, because I think similar to you, I'm like one of those people that's like, oh, I never lose friends. Like, I'm just a good friend, blah, blah, blah. And so it's hard to like kind of realize when like, you know, maybe you're the only one putting effort into the friendship, or like that friendship is no longer serving you. I was actually thinking about this the other day. Like, I feel like we break up with significant others, but we don't really like break up with friends.
Hey, you know, some people do.
That's true. That's true. But I've never experienced it. But I don't know. Like, sometimes I'm just like wondering, like, there's no one coming to mind, but I'm just like thinking,
yeah,
how do you know when it's time to like sever a friendship and blah blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, I've had friends that have gone through that. Like, I remember one of my friends, I think you don't know her yet, but you probably, you know, we'll get to know her at some point. She's also now a long distance friend, friendship that I'm trying to not drop the ball with.
Right.
But she had a friend where it was like, you know, one of those constant kind of toxic one upping stuff. So
I don't like those.
Oh my gosh, so stressful. So like, you know, to the point where that she would put her down and be quite negative and just, but all under the guise of I'm just keeping it real kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh girl, no, this is too much. So I think she just got to a point where she's like, you know what, this is just not good for me, and just kept her distance and kind of like just ghosted her pretty much, because she's just like, this is too much. Because I think, like, you know, it's interesting because we're very much in the cancel culture era where we're like, we're so canceled. Everyone's getting canceled left, right and center. And, you know, I see the value in that, like, you know, in trying to, you know, hold people accountable or just say, you know what, I'm not putting any more of my energy into it. But I also think, like, I guess sometimes like I get my eyebrows go up just a bit when people are like, yeah, you know, had to drop these fake friends, had to do this. I'm just like, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Like, a part of me feels like if you're always having to drop friends.
Is it friends or is it you?
Yeah, like, which is it? Like, of course, please don't keep any toxic people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, in your life. But that's, yeah. And even for me, like, that's something that I kind of encountered last year, because, and I think I spoke about this on the Christmas episode, where the reflections episode rather, where I was just like, you know, I kind of went through my mini, not an existential crisis, but just kind of felt like, oh my gosh, like, you know, my friendships, like, you know, by God's grace, like, my core ones have always been there, but it's just been those new ones. And that's something that we need to talk about too. Making friends in new places, goodness gracious, it's so hard as an adult. It's so hard, but essentially I was going through that phase where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the common denominator here. What is it? But, you know, I had to come to that space where I was just like, okay, I think I'm just looking for very different things than these other people are.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was going to say too. Like, instead of focusing on the friendships that have been lost, blah, 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 it's so important to also like realize which friendships you have maintained. Oh, gosh, and I kind of feel so lucky and so blessed when I look around and like, because even like sometimes I am like bummed out because I see like other friends, especially from undergrad, where like there'll be like whole groups, right? And so like I'll see them like at each other's weddings or like on a beach party together, whatever. So like, and I knew that group was tight in undergrad, and so like seeing them still being tight post grad, I'm like, dang, like why didn't I ever have like a group that I was like close to? Why are all my friends like in such different like zip codes and everything like that? And Lay was actually the one that made me realize. He was like, but Malayo, like, after we, like, even the group that I did have with, like, which was, like, me, Lay, Clarice, Maggie, and Nikki, and Anna. So, like, I mean, we were kind of a group, too, right? But but Malayo, we realized, like, all of us, like, went to different places after undergrad, whereas, like, these other groups that I'm, like, FOMOing on.
All in the same all, place.
Like, stayed, like, in the area. And so she was, like, even by virtue of like the kind of goals we all had, like it took us to different parts of the world. And I was like, oh, dang, you're right. Ooh, and so that kind of just made me realize that like the type of friendships that the type of friends that I do maintain just happen to be like globetrotters, I guess. I don't know. But just like minded, you know what I mean? And so it kind of made me like realize that I've been so blessed with the people that I have kept in touch with, I have maintained friendships with. And not to say that like, oh, easier or anything. I think you still do have to put work into anything worth doing.
Of course.
But like it was easy keeping in touch with those people by virtue of like being of the same mindset. Like even if we're not chasing the same goals, like our ambition and our drive are like similar. So it's just easier to keep having common things to talk about with those people, even if they are like halfway across the world. And it brings me back to like this class again, where we were talking about home and why home might not be a place. And I realized that for me, like, because I actually sent the teacher an email after the class to be like, oh, thank you so much for that exercise. Because it's basically like a radical group therapy exercise that she did with us.
Ooh.
But it was so intense because basically, like, everybody sits in a circle and you talk for 1 minute on a question that she asked. Actually, it's not she, it's they. She goes by... they go by they. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this.
Oh,
the class is Queer and Feminist Diaspora Studies, and there's like a lot of stuff I'm like unlearning. Like,
okay.
The professor is a they, and so they ask a question, and we have 1 minute to respond and everything like that. So it's like they do it in like radical group therapy, and like all these emotions come out, whatever. I'm going on a tangent. But essentially, after the session, I emailed them and I was like, hey, that was really interesting. Thank you so much. Like, it made me realize that maybe home isn't really a place or specific people. Like, I'm starting to realize that home is when I don't have to explain myself to someone. Like,
ah.
I don't have to explain my sense of being. Like, for me, that's home. Because basically during the session, I had talked about how U.S. didn't really feel like home because in the U.S. I'm always Nigerian. And then Nigeria didn't really feel like home because in Nigeria I'm always American. So it kind of made me realize that, like, who am I? And so that's why I've kind of gotten along with, like, other Afropolitans, like you, you know what I mean? Because, like, with somebody like you, I don't have to explain this idea that I don't really fit. I don't really feel like I belong in either place. And so, yeah, so for me, I was just, like, home, and I guess by extension, deep friendships are the people where I don't have to explain my sense of being to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, girl, preach.
Distance.
You are preaching to the choir right here, because that's something that I realized, because I always see people that have like multiracial, multicultural friendships, and I'm always like, oh, that's so beautiful. Beautiful to have. I'm always like, oh, that's pretty cool. But I've also realized, you know, I guess as I've gotten older, that you know, my kind of my, I guess, implicit requirement or whatever for friendships is just people that I can be my whole self with.
Exactly.
You know, people that I can talk about, you know, for instance, this podcast, because, you know, when it comes up in conversation, like you see the gamut of kind of responses. So, you know, people that are on the same wavelength and are, you know, just as interested or can challenge me or whatever, like, that's automatically like, ooh, you know, let's talk more. And just people that, you know, let's say I've read a news story about somebody that got racially harassed or whatever. And so if I have a conversation with you and you essentially just try to invalidate what I've just told you about, I feel like that's probably a friendship that I would only have it as a surface level. And mm-hmm. I feel like at least in the US, particularly I guess towards the end of my time there, you know, and I guess at that point too was like a particularly tense period because there was a lot going on with police brutality at that point and just a whole lot. But I remember even one girl who was my closest friend at work, I could just kind of see the gulf between us because she didn't get it and I couldn't even have those conversations with her. Yeah, and I remember, like, one time trying to talk to her about, like, my experience in Wilmington because, like, it wasn't a very racially diverse place. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just felt like a sore thumb. It definitely was not home per what you've described. But, you know, she just didn't get it. And, you know, it doesn't make her a bad person or it doesn't make her like it just means that just you know those kind of core experiences we just don't connect on and sure. So I feel like that I feel like probably because of those experiences to be fair, like as I think about it more, I've also realized that maybe it's also created a certain bias in me when it comes to maybe people of other races as friends, because I think I've started to get to that position where I just assume that they may not be open-minded enough or they may not have been exposed enough. And I have to, you know, explain myself and validate you know, all these experiences to them. So
I don't know though, because at this point too, like, I would just say like losing patience with that. Like,
that's the thing.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm just like losing patience. Cause, like, on the one end, I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe you're coming from a different background, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, I'm like, but the internet though? Yeah. So I don't know. For me, like, I just don't feel like everybody has to be my friend. And I definitely used to be like one of those people that was like really careful about what I said and like who I said it around, blah, 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 blah. But now, like, as I go more into myself, like, I'll say what I gotta say. And if it makes you uncomfortable, then like, we're probably not meant to be friends.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, because I think what I realized I started to do was I started to compartmentalize myself. Mm-hmm. So in particular company, I'll just be like, okay, yeah, these people probably don't get it. I just won't share this part of myself with them. And ergo, this is not a true friendship. This is just a work friendship, or this is just an acquaintance thing. It's not a true friendship because I should be able to share my whole self with you. And I think also because I got to that a point sometimes where I was just like, oh, I don't have the energy for this. I'm just not going to do it. So I think of course it's very refreshing whenever I do meet somebody and, you know, I'm proven wrong. Not as of course I shouldn't be having any sort of biases.
You know, it's hard, but we all have biases. It's just a matter of like how we approach them. It sounds like you at least attempt to like be cognizant of it.
Yeah, I've started to more because it actually happened. So I have a friend at work called Sarah. Hey girl. She used to listen quite a lot in the beginning. I don't know if she's dropped off or not. So Sarah, if you're listening, hey girl. But she is Irish. She is as cultured as they come. Like, homegirl knows everything about Lord knows what, and you know, like, I always learn from her whenever we speak. And I remember a situation happened in our group chat where I was like, maybe I, you know, definitely have more biases than I thought. So I guess in that moment, I was like, oh, you know what? This actually isn't I need to think further about why, you know, I've automatically gone to the next level to assume that this particular tactic or this particular, like, you know, behavior is to do with this group. And I was like, you know, here I am always talking about, you know, biases and having to explain myself to people, but I'm also over here thinking Lord knows what about others. So that was a good eye-opening moment for me, I guess.
I mean, and that's what all these things are about, right? Just like learning and like checking yourself.
Yeah.
Whenever you can, because I know there's definitely some like underlying assumptions that I have that, and then that's, I think that's the other reason why we have friends that like we can trust to also like call us out and like check us.
Absolutely.
Like that. So it seems like Sarah's the kind of person that was able to like kind of like check you, but like in a really constructive way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think funny enough, that's also something that Samantha is really good at. Because I think, you know, my time in the US, particularly towards the end, I think I'd just gotten so like over it and just like very like, oh, I cannot. And so she was always really good at being like, oh, let's bring it back.
Yeah.
Let's dial it back. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so those type of friends are so important to have in our lives. But the question is, like, where do we even make them in the first place? You know what I mean? And gosh. I think especially for me, I guess, like, I'm the newest to the city. So I guess I can talk about that a little bit. And especially because, like, I've had to start over in so many different cities. Even within during undergrad when I was studying abroad and after I graduated and traveled around for a bit. But I know, like,
you had Senegal, you had Paris, you had going back to Nigeria.
Right, exactly. New York even for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Making friends in new places is definitely super difficult. But I feel like in the U.S., it was a little bit easier because, I don't know, like in the U.S., you know, okay, so this is one thing that I noticed about London, like as soon as I came here. So in the U.S., we have that thing like called like the black knot or whatever.
Oh, gosh, people don't do that here.
They do not. They don't do that here at all. And it took me like a little bit too long to learn that. And I was just like, why does nobody like acknowledge me? Why aren't my black people like acknowledging me out in these streets? Ain't nobody got time for you. basically. So, I know that was kind of like jarring to me, I guess I would say, like, cause like even at, like, I don't expect people like out and about to do it to me, but at SOAS, like during the context of the university, like on the campus, I would kind of expect that, like, you know, if I cross paths with another, black girl, at least, like, I'm not trying to like be here nodding at all the men I pass or something, but like at least another black girl, like let's acknowledge each other. You know, but it just, like, didn't happen. And I found that, like, at least at SOAS, a lot of my friends that I'm making are not necessarily, like, Black British in the sense that they grew up here, even if it's, like, Black British and Ghanaian or Black British and Nigerian or whatever. So it'll be typically people, like, from the continent visiting from with the Chevening Scholarship or something of that nature. And so those are a lot of the friends that I've made on campus, at least the ones outside my cohort. So those in my cohort, like, I'll befriend them, and like actually my friend group within my cohort is pretty diverse because it's just people that I've seen time and time again. But as far as friendships that have developed outside of my cohort, I'm realizing like a good number of them have been Africans recently from the continent, just because like we spark conversation easier because like at least like they, like when they see another black girl, they're like, oh, hey. And I remember like my first second day, I think I told you about this, the South African girl, Umi, she saw me and she like literally like ran across the like space. It wasn't a huge space, but she was like, ah, like another black girl, and I was like, good to see you. And we ended up like taking a whole photo together and like chatting. And so she's like one of the people that I'm like so close to now. Yeah. And then there was another girl behind me in line. There's like this Hare Krishna people who sell, they don't sell, sorry, they give out free food during the day. And so there was this girl behind me.
Wait, pause. Who's giving out free food?
Hare Krishna. Is this like religious group?
And so they hand out. We have that in Ghana as well. Yeah, we have that in Kumasi. We said their temple is quite close to our place. Okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, one day when I was in line, and it was like a long line, there was like another black girl behind me, and so we just like struck a conversation, and it turned out she was like South African, and so that's Stella, and so she and I have also been like super close
Okay.
Seeing someone who looks like you, like, in these spaces and using that as, like, a conversation starter, I guess. You know, something like, oh, my gosh, like, I love your locks. Or, oh, because, like, I think Recipele, the day I saw her, she had, like, this beautiful head wrap on that was, like, sky high. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And so we use that as, like, a starting point. And now we, like, get along and, you know, see each other.
It's gone on from there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So I just wanted to, oh, sorry. I feel like I just cut you off. Are you done?
No, I was going to talk about how I met Gwendolyn, which is, like, super similar. Gwendolyn's the girl that I met in church. And it was so funny because I almost didn't say hi to her because I'd gotten used to, like, not saying hi to Black people anymore, because I feel like some people kind of, like, act some type of way about it, because, like I said, like, people, at least who grew up here, don't do it as much, you know what I mean? And so at church, actually, I don't know, my church is, like, not too far away from my house, and I guess I would call it a diverse church, but there's not that many people my age. They're all either, like, older and then with little kids, or, like, super, super old. And so to that day, I went to church and there were two Black girls there, and I was like, oh, so cool. Like, I should definitely say hi to them. But I was like, you know what? Like, nobody got time for that. No one doesn't care. So I didn't. but that day I ended up, like, sitting and reflecting after church a little bit longer. Mm. And then I was getting up to leave, and then there was a girl behind me, and she's like, hey. And I'm like, oh, hi. And it was Gwendolyn. And so we struck up a conversation, and she's like, oh, yeah, it's so cool to see another Black girl. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then we just, like, had a conversation. Like, she told me that she's, like, visiting. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And she said that she used to school in the U.S. And I'm like, okay, cool, exchange numbers. Mm. And now, like, I look forward to seeing her every Sunday. But, yeah, so it was just so interesting that I almost let this idea that, like, British people don't really talk to each other just by Black virtue Brits. Of being Black, I almost let it not allow me to gain that friendship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because as you were talking, I was trying to think about my own experience. So it's a yes and no for me, because I was thinking, like, to the girls that I have as friends from work. So I have Rebecca, who's Ugandan and Kenyan. I have Ife, who's Nigerian. Sarah, who I spoke about earlier, who's Irish. And Romana, who's Indian. And essentially, well, obviously, other than Sarah, because Sarah's Irish, but we kind of saw each other. We're like, oh, hey, you Black person, because I remember, or person of color in Romana's case, because I remember when we came for orientation, Rebecca was the only other, I think, I don't even think there were any, oh, yeah, there was a Black guy, but she was the only Black girl. So as soon as I saw her, and she's, you know, as fabulous as they come, tall, skinny waist, all of that, you know, homegirl stacked. So she's, like, naturally, like, super striking. So as soon as I saw, I was like, ooh, who's that? So I kind of just made eye contact, because I think I was still relatively new here at the time. So I hadn't gotten kind of, you know, experienced the whole people not responding. So I just kind of, like, did my thing, and then we spoke, and then it went from there.
Young and fresh then.
Yeah, I was young and fresh, young and impressionable. And I think, you know, if it also came along, because they're like, oh, another Black person. Romana was like, oh, hey, y'all. Went from there. And then Sarah also kind of came on. So in that way, it kind of worked out where we were like, okay, we're the only people of color here, kind of, sort of, or, you know, my fellow Africans or whatever. And then it's just kind of grown from there. But on the other hand, I've also noticed that with, like, the wider population at work, like, it hasn't been the same. Because, you know, how it was for me, like, in the U.S., you know, just like you're saying, Omalaya, is you see another Black person in a space. And of course, we're not saying that every single person does it, because I remember, like, at Samantha's work, there was this Black lady there who wanted nothing to do with her.
Yeah, I mean, some people are like that. They're like, oh, like, I feel like I have to be the only unique one.
Yes.
They don't want to look like, oh, they're only in cahoots with you because of your color or whatever,
Whatever. Even though I'd had that, the general feeling had been like, oh, hey, you, look at us. Like, you know, just a little acknowledgement. And so I remember, like, seeing this other Black girl, like, in the bathroom of all places. And Normally in that kind of space, it would be like a little chit chat or whatever, but I think she was not having it at all. And then I've noticed that happening quite a number of times now. So now I don't do it anymore. So funny enough, my company, wasn't that diverse when we first joined, but I've been on client side a bit. And now whenever I come back to like our home base,
yeah,
I see so many black faces. Okay, by so many, I mean like two or three more. Like two or three more than I used to. Like, it's not overrun, but yeah, just a bit more sprinkle. It's not overrun at all.
That's funny. That's just funny.
Yeah, just some sprinkle. And like inside, I'm so happy, but I'm like, these people will not respond, so let me just keep it moving. Which is a bit of a bummer.
And also, when you were talking about how you and Rebecca and all them like kind of like saw each other across the room and beeline for each other, and also just thinking about how Gwendolyn first came up to me after church that day reminds me exactly of how you and I met.
Oh my gosh, yes. In
French, and you, because I introduced myself as like Nigerian American, you and Sam like beeline for me after class, and now we're besties.
Oh, I was like, oh my gosh, Nigeria.
If there's a lesson here for all you listeners, beeline for the people you think look cool. You might be their bestie forever.
Yeah, and it's so funny. Like, I don't know, maybe because I see this happening with me a lot, where I get on a high and then I just kind of like fizzle out. But like towards the end of last year and this year, I've been like very friendly. So like, obviously, I haven't tried it at work because I'm like, okay, no, let me not embarrass myself because I'll see these people again.
It's different for people you feel like you'll see again. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But like, I've started to like just strike up conversations with people, like just randomly. Like, I'm like, okay, if you respond, fine. If you don't respond, oh, well, I won't die on the spot, so who cares? So I've started. Sorry, what'd you say?
I said, so healthy, good mindset.
I know. I've just been like, oh, whatever. So I started to strike up more conversation. But I feel like the funny thing with it, which it shouldn't be that way, but I feel like now I'm starting to get to the point where, like, with, you know, a fellow black person, unless I get a signal from them, like, I don't try it.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying about, like, the eye contact and the acknowledgement. You know what I mean? Because, like, and that's kind of, like, why I kind of stopped going up to people. Because, I mean, I'm not expecting everyone to, like, be my best friend.
Oh, gosh, yes.
About having the same skin color. Yeah. And even if we do strike up a conversation with each other because, like, oh, I like your hair or whatever, that's not, like, an invitation to be, like, friends forever. It's just, like, to acknowledge the other person.
Of course.
What I would notice is that, like, because for me, like, it's not as if, like, I do the black nod or, like, say hi to people unless we make eye contact. Like, if I see you across the room, like, I'm not going to, like, go running across the room. But, like, if we make eye contact, I'm going to acknowledge your presence. Yeah. But what I was noticing was that a lot of people here, like, as soon as they make eye contact with you, they dart and look the other way.
Yeah.
Whereas, at least for me, like, even if I make eye contact with a person that I don't necessarily, like, think I'm going to start a conversation with or do the black nod with at all. Like, so, for example, if I make eye contact with a white person or whatever, like, I'll still smile at them. Because, like, I made eye contact with you, so, like, let me finish the eye contact with, like, a smile or something. But, like, people here just don't do that. And so that was just...
Yeah. I was actually also thinking a bit more as we were talking, and I was like, I don't think that I have any pure, like, Black Brit friends. I don't think so.
Whatever that means, though, because, like...
Well, gosh.
But one thing I did notice, though, from what we are saying is that I noticed we didn't really mention him. We all like,
oh my God.
So what is up with that? Where are all our male friends, Nana?
They are nowhere to be found. They have exited the building. Because, you guys, we have an episode topic that we're, you know, it's been in the works for a while. We're super excited about it, but we want to get a guy on. And y'all, we were like, okay, let's get some male friends. Crickets. Where are these male friends?
I don't know.
I guess
I don't know what it is. Because I feel like in high school I had a lot of guy friends. We said this in the last episode with Rafi, but I don't like it when girls are like, oh, like I was like a guy's girl or whatever. Like, I had more male friends than female friends, blah, blah, blah. So it's some kind of, like, badge of trophy. But, like, I really do think I had more male friends than female friends in high school. But, like, now I'm just looking around and I'm like, where'd they all go?
I have no idea because I'm trying to think, like, you know,
I'm not saying I don't have them. I just notice that the friendships, like, don't come as easily. And it'll usually be like, okay, I'll become friends with a guy that, like, I see constantly, right? So there's a few guys in my class that, like, because I see them constantly, they're my cohort. Yeah. Like, I can now, like, consider you a friend or whatever. And then also, like, when I did NYSC in Nigeria, like, I have, like, at least two male friends from that experience that I still keep in touch with. And one of them called me the other day to, like, wish me happy birthday and all of that. Oh, we didn't even say it's my birthday month, y'all. It was my birthday month in January. Anyways. A quick shout out to me. Anyways, all that to say that, like, yeah, and so, and then there's also, like, guys from undergrad who also, like, you know, wish me happy birthday or whatever. But as far as, like, when I was talking about with, oh, people I keep up with on a constant basis or people that I, like, call and catch up with over the course of 3 hours every couple weeks or whatever, like, just none of them are guys.
I'm like same. And I mean, I guess I'm honestly just trying to think of these friendships. I'm like, where are they? But I think, I don't know, one thing that I can think about is the fact that a lot of times in the past, because, you know, maybe thinking back to, like, when I was in GSS is, like, middle school, SSS is just, like, high school, like, a lot of my, not a lot, but, like, the guy friends that I did have, it always kind of became a, you know, a situation where it's, like, oh, she likes him or he likes her kind of thing. So, like,
your mouth.
Huh?
So people like to run their mouth.
Oh, no, sorry. Like, I mean, from a case of either that male friend ended up saying, like, oh, I kind of like you kind of thing.
Oh, okay, they would actually say it. I thought you meant, like, because you two spending so much time together.
Yeah.
People would, like,
make up stuff.
On you to be, like, those two are dating.
Yeah, no. It would kind of be, like, you know, it would eventually get to, like, a place where it's, like, oh, you know, I think I kind of have some feelings for you. Mm-hmm. Or it would get to a point, and I'm trying to think if it happened that many times on my end, but maybe end up having a crush on them or something. So I feel like with my male friendships, like, not all of them, of course, but, like, a number of the more prominent ones have always had, you know, that kind of, like, tension there. So I don't know if that's why, like, I don't have as, I don't even know where I'm trying to go with this, but
yeah. I have zero words of analysis for this situation. Like,
I guess, like, did we not make any guy friends in college? You had guy friends in
that's
college.
What I'm saying, like, that's why I was saying that even over the course of this month, there were a few friends from undergrad who, like, wished me happy birthday or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that even those ones, it's not as if I would get on a call with them the way I do with Lay.
Do you get what I mean?
What I'm saying. Like, I'm still in touch with them. I'm still in touch with male friends from undergrad, but, like, not at the depth
level
of friendship
that
I have with my girlfriends, you know?
Maybe, is it just that, like, friendships with male, oh gosh, what am I trying to say? Friendships with people who are male. Do those just look different? Like, are those just, you know, characterized by different things? Like, you know, I see you, you see me, there's no need to talk, and that's it? Or, like,
I don't know. I really don't know what it is. Maybe it's just, like with those friendships, maybe there's not as much of a need to, like, analyze every little thing with them. Because I know, like, for example, like, with you or with Chinna, like, half of our friendship is just being like, let's analyze this one thing to death.
Girl, speak for yourself. That's you. I'm a liar.
I drag you into it. Help me analyze it.
I'm a liar. Will send you, like, pages of text.
No, I mean, like, not something between us. I mean, like, other things. Like, if I'm like, oh, I'm having this issue, what do you think about it?
Oh, okay, girl, then, sorry. I just put you on blast for the reason.
You really did. I was like, oh, wait. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, other things outside of us where I'm like, oh, like, what do you think about this?
What do you think about this? Let's get your opinion.
And whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? And I think, to be fair, like, I don't know if I'm also putting myself in positions where I'd make male friends, like, because I don't know, like, at this point in time, like, in London, I feel like it's been such a struggle trying to make friendships and keep them. I think, which is something that we had touched on earlier about making friends in new cities, but, like, in these friendships that I have made, they've all been female, and I don't even know if I'm putting myself in positions where I'd have met male friends, because I feel like at this age, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but whenever you encounter a guy, it's like in a kind of sexual or, like, you know, coming on to kind of way, as opposed to like a friendship way.
Okay, now you're speaking for yourself for sure.
Oh gosh,
I don't know if it's because I've been in a relationship for such a long time that I just, like, don't really view men that way anymore. Okay. So I am able to, like, move into spaces and, like, see men as, like, just a friend.
True. Yeah, because I remember...
But I'm also, like, mad oblivious. So if somebody was even flirting, like, would I even know?
Yeah, there is that. Omalaya flirts as she breathes, as she denies it, but...
I don't think so, because I don't think... Because the reason I don't call it flirting is that the same way I'm talking to the guy is the same way I would have talked to the girl next to him.
Mm.
So that's why I don't call it flirting, because... You know what I mean? Like, so for me, like, yeah. I'll be friendly to anyone regardless of their gender. Mm. And so for me, even if it looks like I'm flirting with the guy, then I must be flirting with the girl too, because I would have conversed with her the exact same way.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, I think we're kind of like at the end, isn't it? Like, I think friendships as adults are just interesting things to navigate. I think we need to cherish, you know, the ones that we do have. And I think it's really important to also not get so fixated on what we're missing. So mm-hmm. let's say, oh, this friendship went by the wayside, or, oh, I don't have enough friendships that do. But it's like, whenever I find myself doing that, you know, later on, I'm reminded by, you know, so many incredible people in my life that are just, you know, have been there for me through thick and thin and are just continuously pouring into me, and I'm like, okay, I need to focus on this positive and also focus on how I can be a better friend to others instead of, like, focusing on what's missing from my life or whatever.
Exactly. that's what I'm saying too. Like, I feel like the quality of the friendships I do have, like, means that, like, there's, like, I have absolutely zero things to say about, oh, like, it's not a group of friends, it's just a single friend, or, like, it's a long distance friendship, or, like, quantity. Like, I would rather continue to work on, you know, continuing to maintain those few super close friends than, like, try to, like, have lots of friends and be like, oh, why isn't this person nodding at me?
But, I mean, sorry, I know I just said let's wrap it up and now I'm bringing a new point. But I think one thing that I think is what brings it about is that we have amazing friendships. Absolutely. We're so blessed by that, thank God. But I think what it becomes is that when in that particular space you're in, none of the friends are there. I think that's where you find yourself thinking, meh, 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 meh. Where are my friends?
All, like, my friends.
Yeah. Because I know that that's something that I continue to struggle with in London. And so, you know, having Omalayo here, particularly this year, has been amazing. Of course, I have amazing people here as well that I'm able to do certain things with, but you know, having her here has been really good. So I remember, like, last week, so I was thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do when she leaves me?
What is it, makes the most of the time that I am here?
Absolutely. And once again, I'm also starting to meet, like, really, really cool people that are, you know, super kind and genuine and just have amazing hearts. Oh, one such person I can actually shout out is Victoria. Remember,
the one you went salsa dancing with?
Yeah, her. Yeah, she's such a kind spirit, which actually reminds me that she's texted me and I haven't responded, so I need to get to that.
That's my last thing.
Oh my gosh. I literally, like, I'm always just in la-la land, and then a month later, oh my gosh, girl!
Exactly. And then I was like, oh,
where has this friendship gone?
You said let it not be.
Oh my god, I need to do better. It's just it's so ridiculous.
We all do. But like you said, like, you know, we won't beat ourselves up for the parts where we are falling short, and instead celebrate the parts that we are doing well. Like the ability to maintain a long distance friendship is quite a feat, and I think that we should applaud ourselves for having been able to do so and continue doing so.
Absolutely. So, you guys, this is the end of our episode. Let us know your thoughts. Like, you know, what do your friendships look like? Do you have any particular priorities for this year? Do you have tips for how you make friends in new locations? Or what? So, let us know. We're eager to hear your thoughts. And we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. We everywhere. So
yeah, and don't forget to like and subscribe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wherever you're listening from. It's really important so that we know what you guys think. Like, leave a review and all those good things. Like, we so appreciate you all being here, and we just want to make sure that even more people are able to enjoy this platform as well.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. Alrighty. Thank you guys, and we'll speak to you later. Bye bye.